All right, well, we started out our Advent series of messages last week with Clint preaching, just to start to prepare our hearts for Christmas, for our celebration of Christmas, and really to help us focus on, you know, Christ as the gift that he is to us, from the first Christmas to when he was born in a little humble barn and then laid in a manger wrapped in cloth. Jesus is our humble king, and we're going to talk about that and how our humble king is a king of hope. And without Jesus as king, there is no hope. I want to talk about that a little bit more today, just the hope that we have in Jesus. In Hebrews 6:19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You know, I've been walking through some pretty difficult, stressful situations recently. I'm a regional leader in the Vineyard, and I oversee, mostly serve, pastor a lot of pastors of Vineyard churches throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin and Chicago. And right now I'm walking through some really hard situations where the enemy is just coming and causing division and potentially, you know, would love to take out churches, families. And it's a really, really difficult time. And so I've been walking through that with many people, many churches, and it's painful. It's hard. I've spent the last couple of weeks crying and praying with a lot of God's people that are struggling and discouraged. And then in the middle of all that, I'm also having some of my own kind of physical, significant physical pain that's just making it really hard to walk and to stand. And a few times in the last week, I pretty much just hit a wall. I just hit a wall of physical pain, emotional pain. I started out my day, you know, in tears for a couple of hours, just crying out to God and saying, I feel really hopeless. I feel defeated right now. I know what you're thinking. This is going to be the most inspirational message on hope that I've ever heard. Can somebody else come in? Brian, can you come and preach this one? But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to try to, you know, blow smoke or hot air or pump you up with a lot of theory, because honestly, I'm just trying to learn, like, right along with you right now. I'm trying to learn how in the world am I going to, you know, contend for hope? How am I going to keep hoping when things look hopeless? And I know a lot of us feel that. A lot of us feel that just from, you know, just being in touch with what's happening in the news and the world. And our lives, our families, people, relationships that, you know, are broken in our lives that we feel hopeless about. And I was tempted to kind of gloss it over. I could, you know, I could pretend, I could preach a glamorous message, but I can't do that because I want to be authentic and I want to talk about how hard this is sometimes. And so I think we better pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, I do want to thank you for all that you want to put in us today, all that you want to highlight to us, the truth of who you are and what you've done for us. And I pray that even now, as many of us just sit in your presence, I ask your spirit would increase on us, and I ask that you would be very powerfully present right now. And I ask that even as we just confess that it's hard sometimes just to come and worship and say these things back to you because we struggle with a week full of maybe just hopelessness or hard things, I ask that you would deposit hope, that you'd start to put that in us, and that you'd help us just to somehow find a way to trust you, God, right now. Just be with us. In Christ's name, amen. Well, last week, if you missed it, I just want to encourage you to listen to Clint's message, because Clint, you can listen to that like on our podcast or on our Duluth Vineyard app. He talked to us about how we are being called to follow the example of a humble king, our humble King Jesus. And he talked about not thinking so much, humility isn't like thinking less of ourselves, but it's about thinking about ourselves less, spending less time thinking about ourselves, but not having necessarily a lower opinion of ourselves. And he talked about a life that's lived in humility and how we're called to follow Jesus' example and bring like these words of hope, these works of hope, these signs and these wonders of God, bring those things together to people who are hopeless, to spread love, to spread peace, and that's a calling on our lives. And if we follow the example of our humble King Jesus, who actually became nothing, and he came to earth, you know, in the form of a baby, and he walked this earth and died on the cross to end up saving us all and restoring the world, making the world whole again through his kingdom coming to earth. That's our only hope. There's not a lot of hope outside of that. Luke 1, 31 through 33 says this: "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never quit." His kingdom will never end. And when we look at Jesus, we see that our hope has to depend on having a humble heart that knows that the answer to everything is Jesus. And if we don't acknowledge our humble need for God, if we don't acknowledge and learn how to depend on him, then we will really be hopeless. We will be hopeless. Like, our hope, all of it depends on becoming humble like Jesus. And he humbled himself to say yes, yes to the Father, to come to earth in the flesh, to be born as a baby in a manger, to walk the earth, to endure the cross for us. And then it was through that, and this is the crazy part, he became the hope. The hope of the world, the Savior of the world. We have a Savior that had very, very humble beginnings. And we see like this humility was the pathway to hope for Jesus. And it's the same for us. Humility is the pathway to hope for us too. You know what? This is what I've seen in my life, and I bet, I'm pretty sure it's probably what you've seen in your life, that there will be people who generally focus on, you know, the not yet of the kingdom, all the things that are not right, like despairing about politics, unsettled, discontent, worried, anxious, fretting all the time. And I think these people are probably miserable. You know those people. I know those people. I am those people sometimes. And then there will be people who actually focus on contending for hope. And people who contend for hope believe in a better future that doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on politics. It's this good and beautiful life that God wants for us. And it's the confidence that God is able to do abundantly beyond what we could even ask or think. And these are the people that are contending for hope. These are the hopeful people. And honestly, this is what this church is about. We're about a bunch of, you know, a crazy group of Jesus followers who have very humble beginnings, who come out of a place of brokenness, who acknowledged our need for the power and presence of the Spirit of God to come and change things, to make us like more human, to make us more loving, to make us more generous, to make us more hopeful in a world that's filled with so much hopelessness. To be people who actually contend for hope. You know, Michael and I were at our small group this week, and people are kind of starting to share about how they had just experienced some pretty tremendous hope and healing in relationships, really difficult, broken relationships with some of their family members. And one man, who I will call Steve, shared about how he had taken his nephew into his own home and raised him, and at a time of need in his nephew's life. And he was very close to him, like a father-son relationship. But over the years, and as his nephew grew into an adult, he had begun to have a relationship with Steve's daughter-in-law, and eventually ran off with his son's wife. And a few years ago, his son ended his life with suicide. And of course, this was part of the reason. And so this causes huge fracture in Steve's relationship with his nephew, and the door closed on their relationship, and they hadn't talked since then. And his nephew also just lived with this tremendous burden of guilt and shame. And in small group, we're learning how to trust God with really hard things. Like, what happens if we actually obey God and do hard things? And we had talked about listening to the Holy Spirit and learning how to take risks and make things right in some broken relationships. And Steve, the week before, had really felt like the Lord had said to him to reach out to his nephew and tell him that he was, you know, forgiving him, and to let go of all of these years of anger and judgment. And it was all just so that Jesus could come in and heal their relationship. And so he said, you know, he didn't sleep for a couple nights after small group last week. And then with God's help, he heard the Holy Spirit just prompting him to do this. And he humbled himself and he took on this posture of humility. And then he moved from anger with God's help and being defensive to humility. And he took a risk and he started to write his heart down. His heart was that he forgave him, and that with God's help, he didn't want to have this broken relationship anymore. He wanted to open the door of communication. And guess what happened? Like, his nephew responded very, very surprised, but was so grateful. And he started to say, "You have no idea this huge burden that you have freed me from by reaching out to me." And as they started to dialogue, you know, pain is broken, fear is broken, division is gone, reconciliation is happening, and hope is all of a sudden alive. Amen. It's a miracle. But Steve had to listen to the Holy Spirit. He had to humble himself. And he had to put all of his hope in Jesus. He had to trust that Jesus was going to do something that he couldn't do on his own. And then he had to take the risk. And trusting Jesus is taking a risk. When you trust Jesus, you're willing to take a risk. You're willing to say, "I don't know. This doesn't make sense. I can't see it. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going to put all my hope in you. I'm going to trust you." And then hope is born. Hope just comes alive out of darkness, out of nothing. See, hope is this posture that we take on. It's like a muscle that we work until it's developed for such a time as this. For all the times when we're tempted to just like give up. Just give up hope, and we can't see. Like, how is anything good going to come out of this? This is a bad situation. This is a broken relationship. There's so much pain. There's so much betrayal. There's so much distrust. I don't know that I could ever talk to this person again. And then the ability to have hope, you know, for us, I think, can be deflated like pretty easily. I really felt this like so much this week. Because for so many of us, our hope depends on our circumstances, right? Like, when things are going really good, like, you can suddenly have loads of hope. But when things are going really bad, it's just like letting air out of a balloon. It's just like suddenly the hope just spills out of us, right? And we're just deflated that we will ever see a positive outcome. But Jesus brought hope when he came to earth as a baby. And Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, brings hope today. Like, how do you think that Jesus would sign his Christmas cards? Like, he has, you know, he could have wrote, Jesus, like, Prince of Peace. Jesus, like, King of Kings. Or if you wanted to add more emphasis, Jesus, Almighty God. Jesus, Lord of Lords. I mean, it's clear when we look at these names in Scripture, in Hebrew Scripture, these are magnificent titles, that Jesus really was God. He really was equal to God. And all of the names that are used for Jesus, they're just overwhelmingly divine in nature. And he knew who he was. And each one of those titles, he could have, like, had his little, you know, claim to fame, and he could have grabbed them from Hebrew Scripture, but he doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't do that. And it doesn't seem to be, like, the lens that Jesus saw this hope, this future hope, to which he calls us to. Because at every single turn, we see Jesus pointing upward, pointing our hope to the Father who, like, made us, the Father who loves us, the Father who's, like, caring for us all along the way. He always gave glory to the Father above himself. Matthew 12:21 says, in his name, the nations will put their hope in his name. And here's one of the most hard to understand kingdom truths. It's actually just, it's upside down in our culture. It's so hard to understand this kingdom truth, that in God's economy, weakness leads to strength. Because in our economy, strength leads to success and glory. But in God's economy, it's upside down. Like, weakness leads to strength. And Jesus had this humility, this weakness, coming in the form of a baby to earth, dying on a cross, that leads to him being the Savior of the world. So crazy that our Savior, our only hope, was this crucified, humble little baby in a manger that's crucified and dies on a cross. How often do you think about that? That the Savior of your life, the one and only hope, was crucified for your sins and my sins. It's crazy. And it's the same for us. Like, your weakness, my weakness, our humility, it leads us to depend, like, more and more on a very strong, very capable, something outside of ourselves, something that we can't stir up, that we don't have enough confidence or enough abilities to do the things that God, that we need God to do for us, God who loves us. See, hope is this confidence. It's this confidence in what God can do and what God wants to do for us. And then every time we have a little bit of confidence in what God wants to do for us, it gives us hope. And then every time we have a little bit of hope, we start to trust God a little bit more. And we start to be able to embrace a future hope that God has for us. So Jesus' humility was just simple. Jesus' simple surrender of himself to God was the humble king. He let the Father do in him whatever he wanted. And it didn't really matter what people around him, you know, did or said to him. He surrendered to the Father. Philippians 2:6 says, who being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. You know, I was thinking about this, and generally, you know, we kind of begin with, we start out with hope. Sometimes we start out with even high hopes. And, you know, we begin very strong, and then eventually, in our humanness, our weaknesses get exposed. And then our best efforts don't take us as far as we thought they would. And then some of our brokenness leads to mistakes. And then, you know, our hope starts to get deflated. And then we lose confidence because it was in us and what we could do. And we're not managing it. And then we just become less hopeful. Or depending on the circumstances, we become hopeless. But in Jesus, Jesus is this ultimate hope bringer. He's this bearer of all things that are hopeful. The bringer of truth that kind of sets us free to hope again and again and again. But the question is, do you know Jesus? Because if you have no Jesus, then you have no hope. And if you have Jesus and you struggle to have hope, well, that's just like me this week, because I was struggling and you're struggling to trust him. It's hard to trust him. And then, you know, we stop and we say, Holy Spirit, if you don't come right now, I just want to quit. I feel defeated. Would you come right now? Would you put trust in me? Would you help me to trust Jesus more than I've been trusting Jesus? Would you deposit that? Would you take this hopelessness from me? And would you put this supernatural trust deep inside of me that will believe what's true about God in this moment? And the Holy Spirit brings hope when we fix our eyes on Jesus and remember who he is. Romans 5:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So that, do you get that? Like, as you trust in him? That's like while you're taking a risk, while you're putting one foot in front of the other, as you trust in him means you're going to have to put your trust in him. And you're going to feel like you're taking a really big risk. But he will, the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. So that's your part. He's got a part and you got a part. And your part is, God, if you don't put trust in me, I'm hopeless. I need to trust you so that you may overflow with hope. How's that going to happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So how does this, like, contending for hope get walked out? Well, it's the same that we saw in Steve's story. You start by beginning to listen to the Holy Spirit. You stop and say, Holy Spirit, come. I need you right now. And you humble yourself and you take on a posture of humility like Steve did when he had to let God come and take away his anger and take away his unforgiveness and take away all of that defensiveness. He had to take on this posture of humility. And then you make a decision. Jesus, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put all of my hope in you, and I'm going to take a risk that you are who you say you are, and that I can believe you for this. And you respond the way that God wants you to. And then hope is born. Hope just is alive in a relationship that it wasn't. See, to know Jesus is to know hope, which leads to all kinds of, like, restoration and reconciliation and change. Things don't stay the same when God comes in. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope, not a dead hope, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, recently, we've been walking through a very troubling time with a friend, and it ended up with their spouse being hospitalized following a life-threatening night of alcohol and drug abuse. And this person was, it's overwhelming situation. Just dealing with all the realities and the stresses of, like, how are we going to stay married And you know, how are we going to try to find professional help for this? And how are we going to pay for it? And how are we going to walk through healing? And then, of course, how are we going to stay sober? And can we, I mean, it just feels heavy. It felt nearly impossible. And, you know, as we just surrendered to the Lord and submitted to God and invited people to come around and pray during one of those prayer times, just in receiving prayer. I mean, it was right in the middle of the worst day of this crisis. And as Pastor Friend was just laying hands on this person and praying for them, it was like they felt Jesus just come really close to them, just felt the presence of Jesus come. And then Jesus did this, kind of leaned down, and he said this in a very firm but loving way: do not give up on your spouse, because I have not given up on them. And immediately a beautiful thing happened. Immediately they just felt like Jesus handed them this huge heart of hope. This heart of hope was born, that God could change things, that God wants to change things, that with God in the situation, he will change things, and hope that they're not alone, and hope that God is like bearing the burden of all of these tough questions and how it's all going to be healed and how's God going to meet their needs. Hope, because do not give up on your spouse, because I have not given up on them. Do not give up on that person who you can't forgive, because I have not given up on the person that sinned against you. Do not give up when you feel overwhelmed with physical pain, because I am still healing today. And there's going to be healing one day. Keep coming. Keep asking. God will change things. Do not give up, because God will change things. I'm not giving up, the Lord says. Even when you want to, I'm not going to give up. So we're putting our confidence, our hope is confidence that God is not going to give up. It's not confidence in what we can withstand, or if we can endure this, or if we're going to respond right, or if it's not confidence in ourselves, and it's not confidence in someone else. It's confidence in God, something outside of ourselves. And hope is stirred up. It's stirred up by that. It's stirred up by the story. Because when I heard these stories and I sat with these people this week of God's faithfulness, I was filled with hope too. The story of like who God is and what he has done for us, it delivers hope to us when we're in crisis. And it delivers hope to other people. Our story of what God's done, it releases hope to others. And it's so important for us keep telling our story, because it really helps raise our level of hope. It's why we'll tell the Christmas story. It's why we'll tell it again and again and again. Because at Christmas, as we tell the hopeful Christmas story about a humble King Jesus, there's people that are hopeless who have never put their trust in Jesus. At our Christmas Eve service, if you invite them, we'll tell the story of Christmas. We'll tell the gospel of grace story. And we'll have people surrender their life to Jesus for the first time, because they do. They come and they hear the truth, and it brings hope, and they need hope. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly. Oh, that convicts me, because I did not hold unswervingly this week to the hope that we profess, for he who promised it is faithful. And God doesn't give up on his promises. He doesn't quit. He's not done. He's still working. He's still wanting. And his promises are faithful. So to raise our level of hope, here's the thing, and this is the clutch, and this is where you have the key to hope or not, we must receive God's grace. And I know I know a beautiful and strong woman named Marge Tree, and I've known Marge, many of you know Marge, for 20 years. And her husband, Tom, a good friend and member here, died suddenly and unexpectedly just 8 weeks ago. And Marge, you know, we've been kind of walking through this loss with Marge, and Marge is just this beautiful example. I mean, I'm literally in awe of her. I've sat and prayed with her and wondered, how could I ever be like Marge? As I watch her navigate this terrible, unexpected loss. And this week I looked at her at small group, and you know, we're standing in my kitchen, and I said, Marge, I'm like struggling with hopelessness. I'm feeling defeated, and I haven't even gone through the pain and the loss that you have. I've been thinking about you like all week as I try to like write this message about hope. And so I asked her, I'm like, Marge, how do you do it? How do you like move through this kind of loss and this kind of pain so well? And her answer was this. She said, only by God's grace. Like every day, I acknowledge how much I need God's grace, and I receive enough. My grace is sufficient for you, God says. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace, by us receiving his grace, gives us eternal encouragement and good hope. So you can see, like when we're not feeling that eternal encouragement, when we're not feeling that good hope, that we need his grace. We need his grace. And God always wants to bless our lives. He always wants to show us his grace. But he can't do it if we don't receive it. He can't do it if we're like independently walking around going, I got this. I'm okay. I'm confident in what I can do without you, God. And if we don't stop, if we don't receive his grace, and some of us don't like personally know, or we just haven't personally experienced like that, you know, the meaning of grace, the biblical meaning of grace. And the reason is because it does come from God. And it's impossible to personally know like what real grace is until you connect to God. He's the source of grace. And so like the Christmas story, it shows us this humility of God coming to the people that he created, not just to show us what he's all about, but also Jesus coming in the flesh, dying on the cross for our sins, provides this way for us to be restored into relationship with the Father, because he knows that we need it. We need it. We need the hope. We need restoration with the Father. We need this lifeline of grace to the Father. And if you don't know Jesus and his hope, well, here's the really good news. Like, you're just among the least of us. This is all of us. We're just asked to accept this gift of Jesus coming to earth as a baby, becoming a man, bringing the kingdom of God everywhere he walked, giving up his life for us on the cross to pay the price for our sin and separation from God. Jesus is this bridge. Jesus coming in the form of man and dying on the cross, he creates this bridge for us to be restored. God sent his son, Jesus, who humbly doesn't get forced to give up his life. No, he humbly lays down his life so that you and I can be restored into relationship with God. And then as we do that, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us when we invite him in. But we have to stop and humble ourselves, and we have to give our life to him to find hope. And you cannot know the meaning of grace until you give your life unreservedly to Jesus and receive this grace, this gracious free gift of eternal life. And then once you do that, you just stay there, right? You just stay in this humble place. It's not a one and done. It's not a, I got this, let's go, God. It's, no, I'm going to stay humble. I'm going to stay in this place of acknowledging my need for your grace. And I'm going to receive it every single moment by moment, day by day, week by week. I mean, coming to the communion table and taking communion, it's just acknowledging your need for more of God's grace. I know I need a Savior, and I can't do this without his grace. I'm going to take you in, Jesus, with this cup and this cracker. I acknowledge my need for your saving grace, this plan of salvation. 1 Peter 1:21 says, through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God, not in you, not in other people. And 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you. More grace, there it is again, when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. There's some very specific signs of being out of touch with God's grace. Like when you find yourself like wanting what everybody else has, envying their hair, car, house, job, spouse, you know, and feeling ripped off, then you're probably out of touch with God's grace. Or if you find yourself like exhausted and feeling like everybody wants, you know, to get a piece of me, and then you turn to God and you think that he's the same way, and he's just saying, do more for me, gimme. You're probably out of touch with God's grace. Or when you feel really stingy, like you don't want to give, you kind of want to hoard what you have, and what you have you want to own, or when you're just boasting. Boasting is evidence that you've really missed the gospel of grace. And instead of recognizing that everything is a gift, and being filled with gratitude, you know, we begin to see our gifts as our own possession, something that somehow, we're the source of everything good in our life. It's probably a sign that we're really out of touch with God's grace. And one of the ones that is probably, I think, a little bit rampant right now is just this feeling of being entitled in life. You know, like you even walk around saying, hey, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I've worked like really hard. And if you worked hard, you could have a good life too. You know, and so I deserve this comfortable good life. And this, you know, this probably feels a little uncomfortable to us. But when you feel like you are entitled because you have worked really hard for it, you're probably really out of touch with God's grace and what God's doing for you. And we have to just stop. And we have to begin with just being humble and realizing like, wow, I don't have your grace. I need to receive your grace. I need to take into my life your grace. Take into my life your love. Take into my life this amazing grace that then starts to change you and free you from bondage. Think about all the ways that we walk around in a week just depending on ourselves. You know, our own decision-making, our own talents, our own abilities, our own feelings, our own impulses, desires, comforts, reason, our own experience, our own, you know, great skills. Like, what if we gave every one of those self-dependencies to God, and we said, God, would you just root out of me this pride, this pride in my own capabilities? Like, I just want to humble myself and take on this posture of humility. I just want to turn my attention to reflect on what God has done and what God is doing and all this God activity that I'm missing in my life right now, in my current circumstances. All the ways that you want to like be involved, and you're in my heart, you're in my mind, you're in my character. And then what if we could really trust Jesus? What if we could like take a risk and respond the way that God wants us to? and relationships could be restored. Forgiveness can come. Fears of rejection and abandonment can be gone. Anger can be gone. And hope could just arrive and be alive and be born. Christmas is a great time for us just to, you know, find our own hope, but also could be a contender. Be a contender for hope, for those who need hope. Because hope releases more hope. And at the Vineyard Church, we are a people that are desperately dependent on the Holy Spirit. I mean, you take him away and we've got nothing, people. We've got nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. That we are desperately dependent on him, and we take on this humble posture of this expectant hope that God can do amazing things that go way beyond all of our imagination, all of our things that we could hope or think. That should affect you. That should stir up some hope in you. That expectation of this sense of connection to God and what he can do, even things that we cannot fully see, like we don't know how they're going to get worked out. And then you start experiencing like this hope. Wow, God, you can change things. You do not give up. Why don't you guys stand up with me if you would? I won't stand up. You will stand up if you can. If you can't, I sympathize. Stay seated. I feel like there's a really big battle over this message and over many of your lives. And I felt it a lot this week. I felt it particularly last night as we started preaching. I know that some of us are hopeless. And I know that some of us do not know Jesus and we have no hope. And I believe that today, some of you will come into God's kingdom. You will come into a saving grace. You will accept and receive his grace. And I want to help you with that. I want to help you walk right into this grace-filled relationship with Jesus. And so if you've never known Jesus, why don't you just pray with me and just agree with this prayer in your heart? Or if you just feel hopeless and you just need grace and hope today. Father, I just, I come and I stand here. I stand in your presence. This isn't a cute little prayer that we tag on the end of a talk. God, we humble ourselves and we stand in your presence. Come, Lord. And I acknowledge my need. I humble myself and say, I need you, God. I need your hope. I need your grace. I need to trust you. I put all of my trust in you today. Fill my heart with trust because I want to trust you. I want to trust what I can't see, but I want to trust you. And fill my heart with faith today, God, as I just humbly ask for you to put that in me. And this feels risky because I don't know you yet. I don't know your faithfulness yet, but here I am. Help me in my unbelief. Help me, God. And pour out your grace. Just let the Holy Spirit just pour his grace out. I need your grace. I need your hope. I'm at the end of myself. Come, Father. I want the truth to set me free to hope. Let the Spirit of truth just come right now. The Holy Spirit's just moving among us and in us and through us. Just let him come. Let him come right now. He's the Spirit of truth. He's just going to bring hope to the hopeless. Hope for every broken relationship, God, that we've tried to fix, but we can't. We need you. We need your power, your presence. hope for every situation, God, of addiction, where we have tried to stop, but we can't stop those destructive addictions, God. We need your power. We need your presence, Lord. Bring your hope now. I break the power of hopelessness in the name of Jesus. I break the power of suicide off of people right now in the name of Jesus, and death wishes and curses that have been spoken to us that we can't make it. We're hopeless. I break the power of the lie of hopelessness off of us in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. You are our one hope. We put all of our hope in you, God. Because you don't give up. You do not give up on us. You do not give up where we're hopeless. I like to invite the prayer team to come up right now, people that just love to pray with you before you leave. And gosh, my thought is that we never walk into church and out the same, that we always just help each other to Jesus, and that's what our prayer teams are about. And if you begin a relationship with Jesus today, we have a gift we want to give you, which is a Bible and a message, and anyone on our prayer team can give that to you this morning. And so I just, as we sing the next couple of songs, I mean, yeah, you could leave in a hurry, but you could also stay and just kind of be in God's presence. And if you need physical healing, if you need hope, if you need grace, if we can encourage a broken relationship, would you come and would you let us just pray with you before you leave today? Because I really think God's going to meet us where we're at. God bless you guys. Let's go out and just be the hope and the light. Let's be the church.